The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm really excited to have our guest on here today. He's a 30-year veteran of the real estate world. He's also an entrepreneur, author, real estate trainer, public speaker, and even a personal coach. Mike Morawski, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Cody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike's from My Core Intentions, and he's kind enough to join us today because he's got a really compelling story, and I thought it matches up incredibly well with what we try to do with our community. But Mike, for those that maybe don't know who you are or kind of your background and what kind of real estate you find yourself in today, tell us a little bit about where you're from and the types of real estate you do find yourself in these days.
Yeah, sure, Cody. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I certainly hope that I can bring some good knowledge and wisdom for your investors today. But like you said, I've been in real estate for 30 years. I'm in the Chicago market. Funny thing is, I really don't do much real estate in the Chicago market. Most of what I've always done has been out of state. I just have never found the rent growth here or the ability to make money really worthwhile. But, you know, been in the real estate business for 30 years, got in the business as a sales agent. And Cody, you know, I've always believed success leaves clues. So I was in the construction business and woke up one day and I was burnt out. I was still swinging a hammer, didn't want to do it anymore. Looked at my wife at the time and said, I can't do this anymore. So wound up selling the company and taking a year off. And during that year, I went out and house hacked a couple of two-flex. And this was long before it was sexy, right? So today it's like the thing to do. But I remember my wife screaming at me because of the nails on the floor. Along the way, though, I met a real estate agent who was extremely successful. And I went and talked with him and I said, hey, Todd, I think I'd like to go in the real estate business. He goes, man, I think you'd be great at it. I think you have a great personality and have good sales skills. And so I said, well, excellent. Could I come and learn from you? Could I shadow you is what I said. And he said, no. And I was like, he said, I'm going to do better than that for you. I'm going to make you a cassette tape. And I was like, wow, that's great. But I'm kind of dating myself right now because I don't think you can make a cassette tape on anything today anymore. But
yeah, I was about to say, I grew up with cassette tape, so I know who you are. Some of our audience may be a little confused. It's a little tape that has a ribbon in it that plays music or audio for you.
Until that little ribbon got caught up in the head.
Right. You got to find your pencil and rewind it.
Somebody said to me the other day, at least it wasn't an 8-track. You're not that old. I said, you know, there is a little silver lining in everything, right? He made me this cassette tape. And I equate that to the podcasts today, right? You can download these. You can go back and listen to these. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of episodes that you have out there, Cody, that people can learn stuff from and miss things. So you go back and you listen to them. But I listened to that cassette tape over and over and over again. And I went in the real estate business as a sales agent and followed those basic, simple fundamentals. And I sold 78 houses my first 9 months in the business, went on to build a team selling 125 homes a year, did that consecutively for about 8 or 9 years. When in 2005, I saw the market starting to shift. And as the market shifted, I knew I was going to have to do something else if I was going to keep the same lifestyle, income, production up. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And this was all pre-2008, right? I always wanted to be in the apartment business. And I say that because when I was in the construction business, I did a lot of work for Inland Real Estate. Inland today is one of the biggest REITs in the world. They're in 80 countries in every asset class. And this is 4 high school teachers who started out buying 1 4-unit building in Chicago. I watched them and I did a lot of work for them. So I understood the model. I understood you raise private equity, you marry it with a great real estate deal. You stay in the middle, and as long as everything goes well, everybody makes money and is happy. I raised $18 million over a 30-month period. I bought $60 million worth of real estate, and it was 4,000 apartments in 5 different states. Built a property management company and we were managing 7,500 units. Today, I'm in the coaching and training space.
So, Mike, I know we were talking a little bit before. it's an interesting transition how you move from real estate into to coaching. And I think it marries up a lot with what we try to do on the podcast, which is help people understand that there are challenges, there's bumps in the roads, there's sometimes even failures that happen in people's careers. But as long as we're learning from those, whether from others or ourselves, that we can leverage those as opportunities to help us grow. So if you wouldn't mind helping us make and understand that transition that you made and what that was like.
Yeah. So, you know, along the way, there were a lot of bumps and bruises. You know, I think a lot of times people talk about all the successes, right? And I was relatively successful. I mean, I never flew private. I didn't buy big boats or big houses or have fancy cars, right? I was building a business. 2008 came around and I actually was sitting at lunch with my CFO and the news happened to be on and they were carrying boxes out of Lehman Brothers by the dozen. And I looked across the table at my CFO and I said, we're screwed, aren't we? And he goes, yeah, we're in big trouble. And we knew at that point that the world was going to implode. Didn't know how bad it was going to be, but I really thought there was going to be some shelter in the multifamily space because I thought people were going to have to go and find housing, places to live. Well, that was true for a short term and people came to the multifamily space and occupancies went way up and things were operating really at a higher level. And then by 2010, things really started to come off the skids. They probably came off earlier than that, but by 2010, my company imploded. And here's what happened. I was really heavily vested in markets where the auto industry was big, transportation was big, and those were two of the biggest industries that got hit the hardest in 2008. We had little companies in towns that were making little parts for dashboards and radio knobs and seats that went out of business because the auto industry didn't need that stuff anymore. Nobody was using FedEx. Nobody was using DHL. Companies just were hurt. So people were laid off. My occupancies in my apartments, because I had all working force housing, all B-class deals, middle of the road that we would buy, value add, engine, re-engineer, increase the occupancy. All of a sudden that occupancy reverted. I had 38 companies. So I had some companies that got hit really bad. And what I should have done was I should have let those deals go to foreclosure. I should have let some investors get hurt, but that's not who I am. Cody, I didn't want to come to you with bad news and say, hey, I'm sorry about this. You know, even if it was the market and not me, but I didn't want to face that, right? I started moving money between companies back and forth. And my accountant, and my attorney both said, hey, it's okay to do it. Just leave a paper trail. When the market changes, put everything back. Well, I thought, hey, you know, recessions are short-lived, 17, 18 months, a 10% correction. This thing went on for 7 or 8 years, was a 40% correction, and people are still affected by it today. Well, I imploded. I'm moving money back and forth, didn't disclose it to my investors. The world came to a screeching halt. I wound up being indicted on wire fraud and mail fraud charges and being sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. So I went to prison.
I think that's a lot. And it's looking back at everything that happened then. And we hear from a lot of folks that went through that process. They went through what happened in 2008. And to your point, a lot of people are still affected in it. Looking back at what happened, I mean, that's maybe one of the worst case scenarios that could come out of it. It's very unfortunate that what happened to you. And it sounds like ultimately you were looking for advice from others and they gave you some decent advice, but not maybe the whole advice. So for those that are maybe getting into the real estate game, they're learning their way. Maybe they've got one or two deals under their belt. Knowing what you went through, and even with all your experience, you know, unfortunately mistakes were made. How do you help others, or what kind of advice would you give others to help prevent those types of mistakes or educate themselves on what they need to know and what is critical to know to make sure that something like that or worse doesn't happen to them?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? I think there's 5 or 6 things that are really critical. And I would just encourage the listener, if you're driving, to go back and listen to this again. If you're sitting there, write this down. I was over leveraged. I bought properties at 15% down. I was 85% loan to value. The bank should have never let me do that on $60 million worth of assets. It's not their fault. They were throwing money at everybody. I was over leveraged. You should be 65, 70% loan to value on your deal. I didn't raise enough money, so I didn't have enough money in reserve. You should always make sure that you have that capital reserve money. There's that spread, Cody, that, you know, when you underwrite a deal, you say, oh, I could be 20% vacant. But what happens if the market shifts? What if you're 30 or 40% economically vacant for a period of time? How do you handle that? Well, that's what happened, right? You know, raise enough money in the deal. Make sure that you don't overpay. And, you know, it's kind of hard in today's environment. I mean, properties are scaling at rapid rates today, compressed cap rates, and just be conservative in your underwrite. I think the fourth thing is you got to think things through. So you can't just think short term today, but you got to think about what 3 years, 5 years is going to look like and think those things through. And the next thing is you got to pay attention to the detail, and you have to listen to people around you. When somebody says, hey, I don't trust somebody, or something's, you know, not looking right, pay attention, unpack it, find out why. And then the final thing is don't scale too fast. I bought 17 deals in 2007, 2,700 units. We didn't stabilize a damn thing. We didn't have time. We were closing deals and packaging loans, and it was crazy. You know, there's another handful of things, but I think those are the key things that people need to pay attention to and watch out for.
Yeah. And I love those lessons, because we've heard oftentimes on the show, trust but verify, don't over leverage yourself, understand and control your own growth, and making sure that you're paying attention to those details. And ultimately, it's you who is on the line for understanding those details. Mm-hmm. Having somebody you can partner with, whether it's somebody that you work with inside your organization, or an outside coach or mentor like yourself, I think is crucial, whether you're new in the game or experienced, to also just have that outside perspective and somebody who's gone through it on a longer period of time and say, hey, you may want to look out for these types of things. Or in my experience, this is where you're going to be going if you head down this path. I think that's vital to have somebody like that on your team or in your pocket to be able to reach out to.
So let me tell you what happened. I had these lessons where I got turned upside down. And like I said, you know, I didn't fly private. I didn't buy a big boat. You know, I lived a pretty modest lifestyle. For the most part, I, you know, was the neighborhood baseball coach, soccer coach. I was home most nights for dinner and had a great marriage. Your world gets ripped apart. So I go from that to all of a sudden living in a 12 by 12 room with three men I don't know. I have three green outfits and five pairs of underpants, wondering what the hell happened in my world. Thought, it can't get any worse than this. Well, I'm in prison about 17 days and my wife decides she's going to leave me. It wrecked me. Absolutely ruined me. I didn't know what I was going to do. Luckily for me, there were a couple of guys around that really kind of came to my rescue. They'll be lifelong friends forever, these two or three men. Actually, you know, and I laugh about it today, but they wanted to take my shoelaces, right? So I walk into gym one day. I'm probably in prison about 6 weeks. And this guy walks over to me and he goes, and I didn't know him. And he goes, look, I've been watching you. He goes, don't let these people beat you. All they want to do is take everything from you. They can take your real estate. They can take your companies. They can take your cars. They can disrupt your family. But what they can't take is what made you make all that stuff. Who you are, what you know, your knowledge, your experience, your excitement. He goes, get that 10 years back. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Come in this gym, start working out, lose some weight. You'll start to feel better. Best advice I ever got, ever in my life. Started going to the gym, started working out, lost weight, feeling better. Decided to go to college, got a bachelor's degree in theology. I taught Bible study in prison for 5 years. I wrote two books, Cody. One is Exit Plan, Your Complete Guide to Multifamily Investing and Why You Need an Exit Plan Before You Buy. I'd love to give a copy away to your listeners at the end of the show. I wrote a book on property management. I taught real estate investing. I taught property management for 5 years in prison. I wrote an ethics course. How ironic, federal prisoner teaching ethics in prison, right? I was on a outreach program. I would go into the community and tell my story. Did that about 40 times to local businesses, major corporations, and the local colleges. I met a professor from the University of Minnesota
we wrote a paper together, co-authored a paper that we had published this year in the Business Journal of Ethics, an ethics case study that gets taught at the collegiate level today in forensic accounting classes, sales and marketing classes. You know what? And I just tell this because I thought my life was over. And I made a decision because I think our life is filled with choices and decisions that we can make, good or bad, right or wrong. I made a decision because there's a saying in prison that says you can either do the time or let the time do you. And I chose to do the time. I wanted to come out a different guy. I wanted to come out and carry a message that was going to be hope and inspiration, that was going to show resilience and be able to help people grow their business, scale their business, and live a balanced lifestyle and not forget what's important. That's how I got into coaching and training space today.
Mike, I love it. I think that's as good of a spot to wrap up as any other. What an incredible story. Mike, for those that maybe want to work with you, find out more about you, connect with you, read some of your material, where can people find you?
Yeah, thanks, Cody. I am all over social media, right? Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. LinkedIn and Instagram are really the big places for me. You can find me there or find my company, My Core Intentions. You can go to my website at mycoreintentions.com to download a copy of Exit Plan for yourself. You get an ebook. And I just warn people, somebody said to me the other day, man, this thing's 260 pages. I thought you said an ebook. I said, no, I said a book. I said, you can get it electronically though.
Right.
So you can get that at mycoreintentions.com/exit plan. If you want to contact me directly, I'm very open in networking and business building and relationship building. You can reach me at mike@mycoreintentions.com. And then, you know, like you, Cody, I have a couple podcasts I do. And if you just go to Alexa and say, play Insider Secrets, you'll get some great interviews also.
Perfect. Well, and we'll drop some of that information or a lot of that information in the show notes for everyone so you can quickly access it. Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your experience, your story, your passion, and how you're able to help others nowadays. So truly thank you for coming on.
Cody, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure to get to know you.
Absolutely. Same here, Mike. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.